Today's message is Spiritual Warfare, Satan's Plan. For those who are visiting with us, I'll do a quick synopsis of what we've been covering so that you can be up to speed with us. 2 weeks ago, we were talking about Satan, how he is not only our enemy, he is God's enemy. And his plan and purpose in there is one to take over. He's got a power ego type of illustration. He is a fallen angel. He is intelligent. And what he uses is fear, deception, and the fear of depth to control mankind. And Ed's... Well, that's not my fault. I have to do that. That's good. It'll stop. We know that Satan wants to pervert and subvert the Word of God, but also he has a greater plan. And we saw last week that plan is not necessarily the individual to deceive the individual, although he will do that. His plan is to subvert the church. And how he does that is because he is a being that is locked into time and space, but he does not die like we do. He has the ability to continue to wait out certain environments so that he can place his people in a position to do his bidding. And we saw that eventually his ultimate goal is to deceive the nations. He wants to be king of the world. Thereby he wants the worship of all mankind to be his and not God's. And he does everything in his power in which to delude us. The issue for us as believers is we need to remind ourselves of the simple basics of truth, that Jesus Christ is God. He came in the flesh. He lived a total sinless life. He died on a cross to redeem us back to God. There's nothing we can do or say to earn that. We just receive Christ. He rose from the dead to give us an eternal hope, and he exchanges his life for the life that we have now, in which we now live to do his bidding. And all of us together, he calls us the church. And this is why Satan wants to stop what's going on in the world. And he will do whatever he needs to do to destroy a work. And those of us that have been in streams for a while, we know that he has actively been trying to destroy this work, but now we have grown through a lot of the difficulties, and now we're starting to laugh at him because we're aware of what he's doing, which is so cool. It is so cool. And I thank Nolan and Sean that when we had the church split way back when, that I was ready to give it up, man. I just was not going to put up with this nonsense. I wanted to be about Father's business, and these two young guys came and told me they believed it in what God was saying. They believed in the vision. They believed in what God was wanting to do with them. And because of their faith, I just was girded up. And here we are today. Today, I would ask us to turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3. We'll read three verses, verses 5, 6, and 7. Put your finger there and go to John 4, verses 22, 23, and 24. We there? John 3, verses 5 through 7. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You shall not be surprised at my sayings. You must be born again. John 4:22. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus is pointing out two important things for us to understand. We know we're in a warfare. We know that Satan hates us. We know that he's going to use whatever tactics he can to corrupt us and fall away from the truth and our allegiance to God. But Jesus said that first we must be born again, and second of all, to worship him, we must worship him in spirit and truth. And I want to break it down even more simpler than that. There is a way that seems right to man, but it is wrong. The church of Jesus Christ, whether it's a local church, and I'll keep it in the local sense because of what's going on with us at this present time, but it is applicable to the church worldwide. The church, the local church, will either do one or two things. It will follow Jesus Christ wholeheartedly, and that is my heart's desire for us, is that we live a life that glorifies him in totality, or we will live a life of compromise, of which, in that compromise, Satan will capture another church and enslave it. Enslave it how, you may say, Pastor? You know, we're all believers. Well, that may be true, but he will enslave it in religiosity. He will enslave it into bondage to programs and stuff. And I'm going to elaborate in a few minutes how this happens, how this plan is coming about. Because, you see, Satan, because he does hate us, he wants to ensnare us. And remember last week I said that what he first tries to do is he tries to deceive us. And when he deceives us, the next thing that comes in is he steals our faith by putting in fear. And from there, we make mistakes. Right? Well, if we know the truth and we hold on to the truth, then we know that whatever pressure that's coming in, whether it's on us personally, in our family's lives, or in our environment, the tactics that he uses doesn't matter, because we're sitting on the rock of Jesus Christ. And that's really what has to be done. Those make believers who believe that going to church is the answer to everything instead of becoming part of the church are sadly deceived. And they're the ones that I love to talk to. Well, I go to church, I do this, and now I'm using. Well, tell me, are you really a good person? I mean, it's so cool to be able to use this stuff in a conversation, and it leads them right into it because, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit is bringing immediate conviction to them. But I won't say more of that. We have a lot to cover tonight. The church has one of two ways to follow. We will either follow God or we will follow Satan. Now, the way of God directs all men to repentance, to be born again in the Spirit, to embrace the cross. And by embracing the cross, it means to live a sacrificial life in obedience to God. It means putting to death our lust, our desires, our wants for things of the world, and to fulfill the will of God. And those of you guys who have gone through foundations and the five steps of foundation understand that this encompasses our families and everything, because God has a plan for us. He has a plan for us in ministry. He has a plan for us in our families. He has a plan for our children. And like I said, he's expanding my vision, not only for Streams, but generations now. If the Lord should tarry, how are these generations going to be taken care of? And I had posed this question to the leaders. Would this ministry survive if I was taken out? You see, I'm the vessel that's carrying this vision. But now, it's being given to more and more, so that the whole church comes to understand not only the vision, but the purpose of God and how to fulfill it. Now, the devil's way of doing things is to infiltrate the local church. And by infiltrating the local church, he tries to get his guys in there. And by getting his guys in there, he then turns the church into something that is like a business model of the world. He uses the church's resources for personal comfort. He seeks easy solutions. This is what these leaders are all about. They're not looking for the real structure of things, because the deception is to deceive the church that they're doing God's work, right? This is the deception. Satan eliminates all Christ-like standards. If they're following them, these standards become loosey-goosey. I call it greasy grace. They embrace, there is no teaching about embracing grace. There's no confrontation about sin issues. There is a misappropriation of truth. a misunderstanding of truth, to the place where when someone's being confronted by sin, they're talked about, you're judging me. And because they're not biblically sound in their doctrines, they become sounding biblical. Because the twist of the word is such. Devil wants us to focus on our flesh and our personal comfort in everything. Not about sacrificing ourselves and giving ourselves. We had a conversation with a couple this week about headship. And what was the responsibility of the husband? He was to serve his wife, cover his wife as Christ covers the church. To serve our spouses in a way that means I sacrifice myself for my wife. I cover her no matter what goes on. I serve her in order that she may become that which God has called her to do. Am I preaching truth or not? Amen. So what happens is, since Satan has to get this in there, he has to first wait to redirect this kind of focus. Streams is focused on doing God's will. We're not going to do anything unless the Holy Spirit directs us to do things. And I think we have been very, very successful in following God in that. In that, maturity of the saints has come to a point that we really relish to see God. We really have a purity of heart here that truly loves and appreciates everyone. There's no expectations except, where you been? Now, we love to see each other, and we love to work with each other. Now, the devil, once he's able to infiltrate the church, he begins to do changes. And some of those changes is he changes the biblical structure of a church. And you say, well, how's that possible? Well, oh, I'm glad you asked that, huh? What he does is he changes subtly the principle of eldership into committee. Ruling by committee doesn't get people to do anything. All it does is brings more people into a conversation instead of making the decision. He sets from set men principles to professional pastoral principles. What does that mean? Well, you can't be a pastor unless you go to seminary. You can't be this. You can't be that. You got to be well educated. You have to go to the best schools and have the highest education, because after all, if you're not educated, you can't serve as the man of God. And we know that's not true, because the biblical truth is God uses the inferior things of this world to confound the wisdom of the world, right? Yep. So all of you are called into a very high calling. You may not see yourselves as that, but I see it because God says it's true. Whatever God has for you to do, it is a high calling that God has for you. And you don't have to necessarily be highly educated in order to do those things that God wants done. He will educate you in this process. Amen? When he's able to bring now the professional pastor into place, what he does now is he turns from the set man principle, who is the one who makes decisions based on God's leading and by the word of truth, to a committee system that now the committee rules over the set man. Thereby, the set man, his position, his authority has been relegated and nullified to a place where all he does is facilitate. He doesn't make decisions. That's called a manager. I am not to manage. I am to lead God's people. I have other people that God has matured and grown to a place that they are now learning to lead. They're not managers of something. They're learning to lead for a greater purpose. And that's what we have to understand. I don't manage my family. I lead my family. Right, guys? If I manage it, that means that's accountable to somebody else. But when I'm leading, now I'm accountable only to God. And so what happens is this deception has crept into the church ever so subtly over centuries. This isn't an instantaneous thing. This is over centuries. And by the time we realize what's going on, we accept that deception as true when it's not. Because, like I said, they've gone from biblical basis and foundations to sounding that like they're biblical, sounding that they're spiritual. Judges 2 tells us, he said, Judges 2, 10 through 13 says, "And after all that, a whole generation had gathered to their fathers. Another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the people around them. They provoked the Lord to anger because they forsook him and served the Baals and the Ashtaroths." We must be so vigilant to the subtleties of the enemy. And I'm not saying that we need to have this form of righteous litigation and all, but we need to be aware that our pattern for operating as a local assembly has to be biblically based. It cannot be something that man thinks that it's a great idea. When we start thinking it's a great idea, we are in trouble. We are in trouble. God's got the best idea. He leads. He tells the set man. He submits it to eldership, and then they move out on it. They make a decision. When we come across, and we have friends and family that are in churches like this, that we need to expose that. We need to expose it in love. We need to help them question why they're in there, what's going on. How many times have we had spiritual conversations with our family members and said, you know, what did the pastor teach on? I don't know, but it sure was good. That should be an open sign to show you just how deceptive the enemy is in bringing this concourse of information, because all it is a feel-good thing. I have to tell you, Friday night, I was in my first Safe Church because they were advertising it. Safe Church. That's what they had on the wall, a Safe Church. And that's what's happening, is these Safe Churches, these pastors preach messages that are geared to tickle the ears of men. Why? Because the giving is given to the message, not their commitment to Jesus Christ. If you're committed to Jesus Christ, you will do what Jesus tells you to do. If you're not committed to Jesus Christ, then you have an option. Well, that wasn't a good message. I'm not going to give my alms. I'm not going to give to this. I'm not going to give to that. And eventually what happens, that person leaves. And believe me, it's happening in the churches today. We must boldly and fearlessly and tirelessly declare the truth in love while pulling down all these incorrect patterns of thinking. That doesn't mean that God is not able to work in this. It just means it's very, very difficult for God to move in this particular type of thing. The subversion is rampant within the American church. Many churches would rather preach feel-good messages and declare themselves as safe churches, which I've said a lot. It's not to offend people or charge them with sin or make them feel uncomfortable, because their giving is predicated on that message. When men preach this way, they become hirelings because they're of the professional pastor. And when they're not getting paid and the numbers are not up and the revenue is not there, they are moved on. Am I lying or am I dying? It's the truth. That's what happens. We are at a place today in this country where government is about ready to revoke the nonprofit status of churches and other ministries. Why? Because we are so far in debt as a nation that they need to get their money from somewhere. The other thing is, from the pulpit, our people need to hear that there's unrighteousness in leadership and that we have a power to bring that down through prayer and at the voting box. That doesn't mean that it's going to change overnight, but if we submit ourselves to God and He brings people that have a conviction of heart, not a conviction for power and but doing the right thing by God, this trend can be reversed and the church can be healed from its negligence. Right now it's not happening. And so such things as for the church, we have to ask questions. Do you give your tithes because you get a tax write off? What's going to happen when they revoke ours? I mean, you have to look at it this way. These are the questions I ask. I'm not here to preach to make you feel good. I'm here to preach to convict you and enlighten you to the truth and the realities that we're dealing with. And part of these realities is that, you know what, if we got sin in our lives, God is not going to move in our lives until we repent of them and change and line up with Him. And that has happened for us many a time. We've had to repent. We've had to get clean before God before He moves. That doesn't mean that there's not grace and there's not mercy. There is. But what happens is when churches are given to fear, the fear of man brings a snare. When they're given to fear, then what happens is they're program-based. They're not God-focused on grace. They implement these programs to entice people to come. They invite people to come to these programs, and hopefully they'll connect. And if they connect, that's more money, more revenue, and after all, I'm a polished professional. I could speak and orate the best of them. But that's not God's best for the church. You see, what is going on now is this social gospel is being preached in the pulpit. It is no longer a gospel that is preached for the individual to be saved out of society, out of the sinful society that we live in. It is now saving the society, thereby you save the individual. And that's not biblical. It's not biblical. How do they go about preaching this? They go and preach. You got to give to the children's cause. You know, there's a lot of orphans in other countries. We need to get involved in that program. So they give. Oh, you know, we've got the 12 steppers coming in. We got to help support that program, and so they support the program. We have this program. We have that program. We feed the poor. Get clothing for the those who don't have clothing. Educate those who don't have that. Hear me. I'm telling you that these things are good, but they're not of God. It's a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. Denying the power because the church should be interested in the salvation of a person's soul. Where are you going to be in eternity? Where are you going to spend it? That's what the church should be about. Not saying that these programs are not important, but we shouldn't have these programs at the expense of not sharing the gospel. Okay? God has made other human agencies that can take care of these things, and they could care less about the salvation of their or condition of their souls. That's what government's about. But if we don't have righteous people in those positions, government will continue to become a bastardized system in which they are ingratiating themselves with power at the expense of those whom they're supposed to serve. Is that not what's happening in our nation today? And we, the church, is at fault. We are at fault, not God. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, "No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer." We are in a war. I'm telling you, we are in a war. Why are we getting caught up in all these social programs? Why are we doing this? You know, digging wells for people in foreign lands that need proper drinking water. Hear me. There is nothing wrong in digging the wells if the gospel is being preached. People who live in unsanitary conditions where health is a risk. I don't have a problem in helping with that, but not at the expense of their souls, not at the expense. We should be out there preaching the gospel no matter what, because Jesus is the only viable answer that this world has. And that is the church's responsibility. The human condition is secondary to the human soul's condition. God died not to change the environment. He died to save our souls so that we could spend time with Him forever and ever and ever. That is our priority. That is what the church is about. The church was meant, the local church was meant to network with other local churches to serve as a network, to catch fish, not change the environment so that the fish would have better water to live in. What happens is we become so fixated on the situation at hand, we forget that our job is supposed to go and catch fish. We're supposed to be fishers of men, not fishing with men, mere men. Can you see the difference? Can you see how this social gospel is a deception, is a lie? How many of us have a burden for the loss? We should all have a burden for the loss. Why? Because that's our Father's heart. I was lost. Somebody shared the gospel with me. I got saved. And my heart is to go and save others. And that's your job. You're here on this planet to go and save others. Not to live a high and mighty life. Not to seek comfort. Not to live as you feel like living. Because as I read in Judges, they did what was right in their own eyes. They didn't honor God. And that's the problem where the church is today. And God is calling men and women out of churches that are living like that because they want to live holy and righteous lives. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only spiritual institution on this planet that is dedicated, that is directed and possessed and vitalized by the Spirit of God. The only. Not care for the world. Not the Catholic missions for the underprivileged. Not for UNICEF. The Church of Jesus Christ. And because we have been called by God, we need to have the character of God. We need to have the power of God. We need to be inspired by God to go and do these things. Because if we're not, then we're under deception. Our minds are darkened. And we live for ourselves. And that is not what Jesus died on the cross for. He gave us His life, but He took our life. That the life we now live is for Him. And what He wants us to do. Only through the Holy Spirit can the church have the appeal, the power, and relevance to affect a sinful world, a sinful nation, a sinful community. Only the church. We are the answer. You are the answer to what God wants done. Now, how does this subversion take place? The first step is when Satan is able to wait out men of prayer. Because eventually that man of prayer is going to die. And when prayer is not going up, he then enlists his guy and puts him into place. Right? He uses his wisdom, not God's wisdom. He uses whatever means he needs to pump the numbers up. He must be educated. He must be articulated. He must look good in order to attract people. He must have a certain charisma about himself. He promotes the programs of the church because he realizes that these programs is what is godly. But there's no power. And look at the church in America today. See what kind of condition it is. We're not even a Christian nation anymore, let alone a Christian church. And you've heard me say, I don't even want to be called a Christian, because to me that's faddish of what we have in there. The church has become an entertainment hub. Come to my church. We have this comedian speaking today. Come to my church. You know, we have this movie going on today. Come to my church. We got this. When are you going to be the church? See, it's about being, not inviting to be a part of something as a spectator. We're not to be spectators. We're supposed to be actively involved in everything. Being part of the church means I am part of what God is doing. I look to seek ways I can serve in the local church. Thereby, I look to see different ways I can infiltrate my community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Influencing people. Managing my time in such a way that I'm out there doing the gospel work. And believe me, I believe our guys are unique. I believe each and every one of us are doing something in order to influence, and it takes time. Because people don't want to hear about it. People want what they want. They want to live the way they want to live. But you know what? My Bible says I give an account to God at the end of all this. And so do you. And so do they. You see, when we start looking at our numbers and start looking at the stuff that we have, we're no different than the Laodicean church, as Jesus said in Revelation 3. We're no different. We have all this stuff, but we are spiritually impotent. The true strength of a church is found in its leaders that are not too highly cultured, not too highly educated, but are well versed in the things of God. They have been schooled by the Holy Spirit and intensely devoted to Christ, with not holding on to too much earthly wealth or social position. Why? Because those things will ensnare me from doing that which God has called me to do. I'm at war. I'm not at war with each other. I'm at war with Satan. And those brothers and sisters that need to hear the gospel to come to Jesus Christ, I'm at war with his tactics. I'm at war with him who hates me. I'm not at war with God. Once he's able to implement this professional clergy in a place, the subversion is almost undetectable. Truth is slowly slid away and becomes opinionated preaching. The person who's hired on as a professional pastor may or may not know that he's a hireling. As a hireling, he cares not for the sheep. He cares about where his next meal ticket is coming from. And he will preach to keep the people happy so that he can keep himself comfortable. And when this happens, the Holy Spirit leaves. Sin begins to run amok. Temptation becomes prevalent. Instead of looking for holiness and righteousness, we begin to give in to our evil desires. We begin to start looking at forsaking godly relationships because we don't want anyone to be offended by us. We don't want anybody to think ill of us. And the professional clergy don't understand that they have made an enemy of themselves with God. And I'm not saying that this is across the board. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, how many churches have this going on and they are not aware of it? They are not aware of it. We must be spiritual. We've got 800 in there. Well, how many people come to prayer, intercessory prayer? Oh, I get maybe 3 or 4 out of 800. My Bible says my church is a house of prayer. My church. If you name the name of Christ, you need to find out how you can become part of a prayer team. Because only by prayer and seeking God is this thing going to become mobilized and mushroom into affecting our communities and catching men. That is the truth. That is the truth. It reduces the church to a place of entertainment, not for edification. We socially gather at church. We tell everybody what's going on. You know, our promotions in work, how much money we have, the new boat I have, the new summer house or whatever. In the meantime, people within our communities are starving, in need of 100 different things. And the church has fallen. The church has been ensnared. The church has lost its way. And the ironic thing is, it doesn't seem that anybody cares. That's what's sad. Because Satan has done such a hatchet job in darkening our minds that all we care about is our four and no more. I come to church. Are you part of the church? My kids participate in the soccer team that they have at church. Are you part of the church? My kids do this. My kids do that. I'm part of men's fellowship. I'm part of women's fellowship. Are you serving in the church? Is the church your ownership? Because my Bible says everybody is a member of the body of Christ. If you are not in the church serving, then you're outside the church looking in. That's the deception. Your life is in the body of Christ, not outside, just coming in surreptitiously, plugging in every once in a while to get a recharge. You're either part of it or you're not a part of any of it. That's how Jesus spoke. That's how it is in spiritual terms. You're either part of the problem, are the problem, or you're the solution of the problem. And the solution for us is Jesus. No one sees, no one understands, no one cares. The modern church no longer desires spiritual things. It has no expectation in the manifestation of God's Spirit in power. Has no desire to do God's will. Incomplete obedience. The devil has darkened the believer's mind successfully, in so much as thinking now that the commands of our commander-in-chief are now options that we can pick and choose to do as we so feel led. Their commands. And I just want to do this one on the side. Do you know that when you say Lord, when you say Lord, oh Lord, this or that, may command Lord Jesus, you are positionally, knowingly know that you are His slave to do what He wants you to do. So if He's not your Lord, He's not Lord at all. Don't use His name. The early believers of the first church sought and cultivated deep desires to experience God more. They weren't attending church. They were the church and they expected God to show up. They fled from sin, anticipated the wrath of God to come at any moment, and they had deep conviction about spiritual and eternal things. Are you able to talk to anybody and everybody about what God's doing in your life? Do you know what heaven is all about and how that's going to come about? Do you understand the rapture? Do you understand end times? Do you know, this is what people are looking for. They're looking to the church of Jesus Christ with answers. We have the answers. Why are we so afraid? Why are we so afraid? I have been searching since we did Contagious Christian, looking for something else that could be practical, and we have found it. God has led us to the way of the Master, and it is so simple. It is so simple that our kids can do it without much effort. The deception is complete, and we know we have family members in those churches in there. And those churches, you know, my job as a shepherd is to put down everything that I have for the cause of the sheep that God's children have. I'm not to make it an appointment 3-4 weeks down the road. That's a deception. There's nothing more important than the soul of a person. Nothing. Nothing. Jesus didn't die to give us options. He died to give us eternal life. He died because He has a burden for the lost. Satan has done a hatchet job on the church. And he will wait generations to pollute, to pervert, and subvert the truth of Jesus Christ to make us think that we're spiritual people when all we are is religious. Ensnared in different kinds of bondages that God never intended for us to have. You see, when He said, you don't know what you're worshiping, but we do. We worship in spirit and truth. Well, why do you come to church? Are you come to be edified, to be built up, to become part of something that's moving and alive? Become all that you can be, that God has created you to become? Or do you just go there because you think it's the right thing to do? I can't answer these questions for you. I've asked them of myself. many times over many years. And this is one thing I could tell you. Playing church is the most deceptive thing that Satan has. He makes you think that you're okay with God when you are in total, total denial. And at any time, you could check out of Hotel 6 and find yourself before Him. What are you going to say? Lord, didn't I cast out this? Didn't I do that? Lord, didn't I? But He says, I never knew you. Are you hot for God? Do you come here expecting God to manifest and speak to His church? Speak to you? Or do you come here, whatever. Sad on you. You see, I also know that I'm responsible to tell you the truth of what it means to be the church of Jesus Christ, not be a part of it. You know, I just go to church. What are some of the solutions that we have? First of all, not to be aligned any longer with unspiritual things. That doesn't mean that we can't play baseball and sports and stuff. But don't let those things control you. That you know what, when you know that there's something going on and you're part of streams, you need to be there. You got to stop making your life more priority than what He has bought you for. And that doesn't mean that there aren't things that go on. But when you schedule events at the expense of coming and being a part of what God is doing, then you've got a problem with God. Your priorities are wrong. I don't know how to say it any other way. Well, you just don't understand, Pastor. My family can't. You know what? My Bible tells me if I love my family more than I love God, then I'm not worthy of Him or the kingdom. If I go to God and God says, yeah, you're fine to do this, then that's fine. But don't make decisions without conferring with the King. I don't have a problem with that. If anything, we've had talks about things that people have done over the years, and I said, you know what? That's between them and God. But when God gives me the opportunity to preach that particular message, I'm not holding back. Because I'm accountable. I gave you this word, son, you didn't share it. I shake when I stand here because I understand the magnitude of my responsibility. Don't be aligned with unspiritual things. Don't prefer them before the things of God, is all I'm saying. Next, we need to feel the burden of God for the lost. Feeling the burden is not just some emotional feeling. It is really having an earnest in your heart to purpose to do and reach out and grab those that are going into the fire. We need to snatch them out. Jesus said, my church will prevail against the gates of hell. Are you part of His church? Well, you know, I just don't feel called to do that. Are you part of His church? It's not whether you feel like you're called. You've been called. You've been called to give your life up and sent out to do what He wants. You are in a war. Your job is to please Him, not me. I'm just relaying the message. Got to have this burden. If we don't have that burden, if there's this lukewarmness about us, you know, we need to get before God and say, God, what is it? What is? Why am I so cold to and indifferent to these people? Why don't I care about them like you do? Am I so selfish and self-centered that I want what I want more than what you want? God, forgive me. Get real before Him. He knows your heart better than you do. And He knows mine. And mine's wicked, desperately. And I want him to squash everything in my heart out that is not of Him. I want the burden for the lost. And you guys, my leaders, know I have a burden because I'm constantly talking about getting out there, constantly talking with people, trying to bring God into the conversation. And I say, continue to do it. Because if we faint not, we're going to reap a harvest. And that's what it's all about, reaping that harvest in due season. We need to cultivate and purpose to be single of heart to do the will of God no matter what. Well, Nolan, I need you to go out there. Well, you know, I'm a little busy today, God. I really can't go over there. Well, I didn't ask you if you were busy. I just asked you to get over there and do it. Well, you know, I don't know. I'll see if I can work it into my schedule. What happens is when we have disobedience or delayed obedience, that gives the enemy the open door to darken our minds, to beat on our heads, and God is sitting there saying, I tried to tell you. If you did this, you'd be in me. I have full armor upon you. You will be able to do this, no problem, and accomplish the goal. Delayed obedience is still sin. We need to still repent. We still need to get it under the blood. And then we still need to do that which God has called us to do. Our first ministry is to our families. But when our families are working smoothly and all, then what we need to do is branch out and see how we can serve the local assembly, how we can get involved. And in our involvement, how can we be used of God to bring in our friends, our neighbors, our family? Remember when we talked about oikos and we talked about how important it was for the Holy Spirit that when He lays somebody on our heart, we need to immediately find out what it is He wants and how He wants to do this. Not, I had you in my heart and I prayed for you. God's not interested about praying for someone. He's more interested in our action and our motives. That's what He's interested in. And finally, live united in righteousness and holiness. The church that doesn't preach against sin has sin already in it. The church that doesn't adhere to the truth and challenge the people to be Bereans and look at the truth to see if I'm preaching what is true has already been deceived because truth has been watered down. The people that we're in relationship with are the most humblest individuals I've ever met. They are. I am struck by how friendly they are, but unimposing as to their position in God. They will give their lives to promote whoever, to see that God's will be done through them. They're interested in the local church. Not many networks have that going for them, let alone many churches. God has seen fit to bring us together and marry us with them. And because of it, great opportunity has come for Streams, of which in the future, you guys are going to have opportunity to go and minister to their congregations. What God's done in your life and how you can help them become victorious through the things that you've won battle after battle in Jesus Christ. See, it isn't about me because I'm promoting you guys now, telling you that this is going to happen because guess what? It's going to happen. You're the answer. You're the answer to edify and encourage our brothers and sisters in other fellowships, whether it's in the Presbyterian Church or it's Word and Worship in Pittsburgh or whatever. You're the answer. You're part of the Church of Jesus Christ. You have to start thinking that way. You have to start believing that way. You are important to God, so important that He died on the cross. You have a call in your life, and the things that are going on in your life is only to prepare you to the next stage. It's not because God's mad at you or anything like that, which these preachers would tell you that, you know what, I'm going to preach a healthy, fun-loving message. And when the trials and tribulations of life come in, well, that God's trying to teach you something there, sister. Don't you understand that? No. God's teaching us every day, in good and in bad. He's teaching us. It's whether you're paying attention or not. You know, the things of the Spirit are great. But nothing's more greater than our high calling and royal duty to remain faithful to Christ as a spotless bride. In us doing that and edifying each other and encouraging one another, not pointing out their sin and whatnot, but really pointing out how I may be able to serve you. How can I help you become better at what you're doing? What is it that is being a stumbling block in your life that I may be able to help you? Aaron and Hur, and you can look this up, held up the arms of Moses so that Israel could defeat the Amalekites. And every time Aaron let go of Moses' arm, the Amalekites were starting to whoop on Israel. But once that they lifted the arms up, finally the Amalekites were defeated and Israel prevailed. That's our job. Yeah, I understand you're supposed to pray for me, and I pray that you do, and I thank you that you do. But my job is to also uplift you. My job is to keep your arms up, not to give up. We've just entered into this battle. You know, we've had some sniper shots taken at us. We've had some bombs thrown at us, and people have gotten blown up and hurt. But God is God. If we are not willing to take the risk and die to what we want for His will, then what are we doing here? Streams is not built to make you feel safe. Streams is being built to make you strong and mighty in God. Amen? Father, I just thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you that you are calling us out of darkness into your light, God. I thank you, God, that your word goes forth, and I thank you that your Holy Spirit is here with us, God. Give us your burden, God. Give us that which we so desire. And that is to see your house full, Lord. To bring in your harvest, God. Yes, we have multitude of needs, God. And we have multitude of greeds. But there's nothing more important than to fulfill your will. God, forgive us where we failed. Wash us clean in the blood. And may we come out of here encouraged, God, that there's so much more we can do to help fill your house up with your harvest. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.